Hey, how's it going? Episode 19 of the Ammo Practice Podcast presented by Precision Sonar. My name is Donovan. I am here with Joe and Ryan. Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Right on. We are here. We're going to talk about the Bassmaster EQ that was at Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. Very first EQ ever for Bassmaster series. It was an interesting one, wouldn't you say?
I think it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an event. There was a lot of scoping that was happening.
But this did happen. We predicted if they had perfect practice weather, they were going to get it.
Yep.
And yeah, they had mint weather in practice.
What was it? Day two got rough?
Even day one.
Did it get rough on day one?
I thought it was day one.
And two. It just switched directions. It was from the south on day one, and then it flipped to the north on day two.
Yeah, it was an interesting, I don't like, and because they do this with the opens too, right? Where they don't have live during the days, except for the final day. I wish they would, especially for these. I feel like there's more at stake with these because these are the last events. They should have live throughout all 3 days.
Yeah, I think it's just, there's only so many TV hours and the opens are not going to get near as much publicity as the elites are.
That's understandable, but at least, they could still go live on their website, even if it's just limited camera angles, sure, like four anglers.
I would have watched it. Yeah.
I would have watched it, or at least had it on and kind of peeked at it here and there, but weights were good. Weights were tight. Weights were really tight.
Champlain there.
Every time.
I couldn't believe the amount of 20 pound bags.
Yeah.
Typically it's like, I don't want to say typically, but 20 just went so deep, like deep, deep, deep.
It's normally like locked up in that 17, 18 range, isn't it?
18, 19, 19 and a quarter. Like it just fall fish. They're heavy. Yeah. They're eating.
Big fish.
Big fish.
And you have a lot of experience, Lake Champlain.
Yes.
Yeah. So
he's been there
not
before.
Anymore. You know what? I'm watching this thing, right? And I'm like, all these guys just come out of nowhere and they just come up and get on a 40-foot contour line and get on 10 on the trolling motor and they just go until they see a fish or a group of fish and then they catch them.
Yep.
It's just, there's like, I would get my head kicked in if I fished up there right now against those guys.
Are you talking about just like a skill gap between like, well, not skill gap, but
learning curve.
Yeah. Learning curve is
it's
better.
Not even that I think it's that they have zero problem putting all their eggs in that basket because they don't have a bunch of knowledge of the lake. They just know what they know and what they're very good at what they do with scoping. They don't care to do anything else. Yeah. And that's a perfect lake that you can do that. It shapes up so well for those guys.
Yeah. Would you say that Lake Champlain is like a top three scoping lake in the U.S.?
It's pretty good.
I'd say it's one of the better ones for sure. Yeah. And I haven't even been there.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you put it in the top three though?
Top three is hard. I'd say for sure in the top 10.
Okay. If you had to name one in the top three.
St. Clair.
I mean, like St. Clair. I mean, St. Clair's just a bowl. Mm-hmm. It's featureless. Like scope is a big deal there.
Would you think Gunnersville?
I mean, it's dominating at Gunnersville, but it's dominating everywhere.
Sure.
But like Gunnersville, you could still win throwing a frog in the fall. Mm-hmm. You could still win punching, that kind of deal. Whereas at Champlain, you're just not going to win not scoping. Mm.
I didn't know. I heard the water was like 93 something, and that's low, low, low. I think it was even lower than that. And I saw some pictures just knowing what the place kind of looks like. Mm-hmm. And it was like unrecognizable. It was wild.
Yeah. So whenever they get to the day three and it's live, are you able, because you have, you've spent a long time up there. Are you able to look at these guys where they're going and be like, oh, I know exactly where they are?
When they did the still photos, I knew where a lot of guys were.
Really?
Yeah.
Just from the photos. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. day one, Matt Messer led with 23.9. 10th place, Austin Cranford had 21.13. So the difference between them, a pound and 13 ounces, something like that.
Tight.
Very, very tight. And it was basically the exact same way all 3 days. Emil Wagner, almost said Wagner again, elite series guy, wins it. So big ups to Emil. Congratulations, taking down the very first EQ. Matt Messer coming in second, and Paul Marks coming in third.
What a boss move, though, for Wagner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because he was already qualified.
Already qualified for the Classic.
Mm-hmm.
He was in. He was good to go. And he just went there to go.
And he gained a new best friend, too. John Cruz is officially his new best friend, because 100%. With him double qualifying, that bumped the next spot down to John Cruz to get into the Classic from the Elite Series.
Mm. I didn't even think about that.
He's got a new sponsorship, Missile Bates.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure he got an offer.
Congratulations, Emil Wagner. That's awesome, taking it down. So we'll be excited to see you in the Elite Series next year and also the Classic. One thing I wanted to talk about, and we hit on this two episodes ago, right before our interview with Justin Berger, the pay table. We were unsure of what the pay table would be. Now that we do see the numbers, it's odd.
It's odd. Something changed.
It's dumb. I'll say it.
I'm glad that the guy who won.
He wants some money.
That's awesome. It's really cool. $58,049. We were predicting 30, 35,
yeah,
maybe.
38. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close. $58,000, just over $58,000. Second place. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't see if that had any contingency stuff involved in it, that was just 58 cash.
It was 58 cash, was it not? He didn't have Big Bass or anything like that.
Gotcha.
I mean, we had talked about, you know, the extra $1,500 that was spent for the entry fee, where it was going to go. And it definitely went to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Because second place, Matt Messer, congratulations on second, got just over $17,000.
Big jump.
The jump from first to second, because I wanted to check my math on it, is $24 off of $41,000. From first to second is almost a $41,000 difference. The difference between second and 10th, about $9,000.
What was the breakdown? Do you have those numbers, mm-hmm, like third? And
yeah. Second took home $17,073. Third, $13,658. You want me to just break down the whole thing?
Go to the top 10.
Okay. Fourth was Cody Stahl for $12,975. Fifth, Sam Hange. I'm not sure how to say his last name, so hopefully I didn't butcher it. Fifth got $12,292, about a $700 difference between fourth and, which is crazy, fourth and fifth, $700 difference. Christian Nash, sixth for $11,609. Gray Buck for $10,906.
They definitely paid down deeper in the top 10. After that jump into second,
they paid
down well.
Yeah.
100%. Aaron Jagefeld?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I know for sure I butchered that.
He's definitely watching.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, somebody's going to send it to him and be like, they don't know how to say your name. Sorry, Aaron. Eighth place for $10,243. Garrett Paquette for $9,560. And Russ Lane, top 10, $8,878.
I mean, that's a pretty good payout for a top 10 in that level of tournament. Just a big difference between first to second.
How many total people were there?
102.
106 or 107.
Yeah.
In 107 spots, you come in top 10. And you essentially just made your money back for all of them.
Is that so? What is a top 10 in Elite?
Peanuts. Nothing.
It's less than $10,000, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Is it?
Yeah. So how does that work? That's a good question, because they're paying $3,000 for three tournaments. $3,000 a tournament.
35.
No, 35.
Yeah. 35.
So 35, 35. So they're paying right at 10 grand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're paying right at 10 grand, which is what the elites are paying across the whole entire year. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's, yeah.
What but is, that Elite Series guy still is making 100.
Yeah.
The winner.
To win. Yes. But you're only talking three tournaments instead of nine. Yeah, that's
interesting for sure.
Definitely changes.
And they pay down to 40, I think.
Okay. So yeah, they pay down to 50.
Who did?
The Elite Series.
Yeah. I think these guys paid a 40. So that that shrunk, that compressed that.
10th place takes 10,000 in the Elite Series.
What is what did 40th place make on the Open? Do you know?
In the Open?
In the EQ.
In the EQ. I don't. I can look it up real quick.
That's not a big deal. I was just wondering. They took 10 spots away, so they had to put the money somewhere. Obviously, it goes back in.
Well, I'm curious now what the minimum payout was.
It seems like they just resembled that. You know, went based off of that Elite Series table.
They just scaled it.
Yeah.
I bet you 40th place made $2,800.
Ryan? Jeopardy. Wheel of
What is 2,800?
Price is Right.
I'm going to go exactly half, 1,400.
I know the number. You said 14. You said
28.
40th place got $3,400.
Mm, pretty good.
And that's cash winnings.
Got their entry back.
Yeah.
Yep. It's cash winning. So actually, hold on. That's interesting.
I figured it would go down quite a bit more.
Don't look at the Elite Series one.
From 29th through 40th, they got paid $3,414. So it was that flat rate for those 11 spots. So that's interesting. Yeah, I was going to make a statement that it wasn't that great, but it's actually seeming better than the Elite Series.
Well, yeah. you
for scale,
you come in 40th on the Elite Series, you get $500. Is it the number? I think it's like $500.
It was 500, but I think they changed it.
They changed it. I still don't love the $41,000 difference between first and second.
Emil loves it.
That's awesome.
There's one guy that absolutely loves it.
Giant fan.
Of and it. One guy that absolutely hates it right now.
Yep.
It's a long ride home.
Because I mean, the difference between them. 13 ounces.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe the sheer numbers of like 3/12s, like big threes, fours, four and a quarters. Just they all look the same. It's just unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. And nobody caught a giant smallmouth. I don't think. Mm-hmm.
There's a few good largemouth. Yeah. Right in though. I was happy to see the largemouth playing a little bit. You know, even a couple of the guys in the top 10 were mixing in largemouth, which that was cool.
When you fish up there, it's not like a lot of stuff in the fall is like main lake stuff because the water does come down a little bit and it pulls them a little bit from pockets and things. So you're really exposed. So when it blows, it's, Tim told me he had in practice, he could catch largemouth on a big jig in 8 feet of water in milfoil. Even when it was blowing the opposite direction, so it would be protected, for some place that place just swirls. It's wild. He said he couldn't even fish it correctly. Yeah. He was living on the trolling motor and he couldn't power pole down. He was too deep. It just didn't work.
He had a good day one.
Yeah, got him good.
19th place. That's not to say how he finished though. Now, do you know?
But what it's place? Crazy. He almost had 19 pounds on day two, and they're like this. See you the next one.
Yeah. After day two, he was in 30 something,
42,
40 something.
42, he ended up
having almost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was just like
place to every ounce is like a couple places.
Terrible.
You better have your culling system figured out.
No doubt. That's what I said. You better have it dialed.
Yeah.
This is interesting. And I want you guys to explain this to me. So I looked at the EQ standings. Emil won this one, but he is not in first. Matt Messer is obviously with 95 points. And I'm going to catch a lot of flack. is Paul Marks in the Elite Series?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just couldn't find his name. It may have been, actually it was my fault. I couldn't find his name, but that makes a lot more sense. So they're counting basically everyone who's not in the,
who's not already qualified for the Elite.
Right. So yeah. Matt Messer in first, Cody Stahl, Sam Hange, Christian Nash, Gray Book, Aaron Judgefeld, Garrett Paquette, Russ Lane, Alec Morrison, and Jace Lindsay taking up the top 10 spots right now for the EQ standings. So that's pretty cool.
And Ryan brought something to my attention because I didn't know, but like that whole thing with Cruz, I didn't know if the classic spot would go to the next guy down on the EQs.
Yeah.
Which again stinks for him. Guy came in second, Messer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it goes to the Elite Series guys, which I guess I like that.
Right. It takes care of the top section a little bit better.
I like that.
So
tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. But who knows? He may be on him next time.
Well, essentially, it's like they're taking Emil's. Emil is qualified for the Classic from the EQ.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He is not. I mean, he was qualified through his Elite Series standings.
Right.
But they're just taking that away and saying, no, you actually qualified through the Open. So it moves it
through the EQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So it'll be interesting. The next one is
Wheeler.
Wheeler. I was trying to think of the date. It's late October, isn't it?
No, it's like next week.
It's
is it? I've got that mixed up with the third.
28th is the first day of practice.
I think it's Monday, whatever that is.
Because they get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or they get 2 days.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then they have
a day off.
Maybe it is
Wednesday. Yeah. That's where it was Champlain.
I also don't like that they started on a Thursday for a 3-day tournament. I assume they would do the full weekend.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I know they're not, but I don't know. It just makes more sense to do the full weekend. Maybe there's a logistics thing I'm missing.
I'm surprised that the way they do have it set up, and they love to cancel tournaments this year on the Opens, just days, you know.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it's like, these are real big events that are going to like decide people's what they're going to do in their life.
These matter big time.
They can't have something built in to fish on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, it's to the point of where these guys are like, this is kind of like they're fishing for a living ish. Do you think they could just
get one more day? Could you imagine if day 3 at Okeechobee gets canceled? How bad that would be.
So bad.
Yeah. In like Okeechobee in November, I'm guessing like that could happen.
For what reasons?
Wind.
Just being extremely violent?
Yeah. Okeechobee is terrible when the wind blows.
It is out of Clewiston.
Yeah.
So
north wind will be better than south wind.
The good thing about Clewiston is as soon as you leave Clewiston, you can go right or left in a rim canal. You do not have to choose to go. If you come out of Kissimmee River up north, you're like in it. It's you have to duck around a little bit before you can get into a rim canal.
Clewiston is southwest, so it would have a north wind.
No, south wind. I said that wrong.
Okay.
South wind would be better than north wind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in November, I mean, I don't know what the weather's like in November in Florida, but
who knows? They don't know.
I'm guessing you could get a big cold front.
Sure.
With wind out of the north.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Could get a hurricane.
God forbid.
Yeah.
Get a hurricane.
Yeah.
Big east wind.
Big east wind.
Big easty, baby.
Hey, yeah. There's been several hurricanes hit Okeechobee over the years.
Yeah. So, all in all, it was a fine event. You guys know how I feel about Lake Champlain.
Yeah, like the top 10 baits thrown, I always like to look at that and see what these guys lie about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they're not even lying. Like, it's just like minnow.
Yeah.
Minnow. Coolest thing, Gray Buck throwing a
clod bait.
Yeah, it was a clutch. I don't know if it was a clutch or what it was or if it was a...
And a trap.
Buka, whatever.
So I will say this, though, because I looked at those top 10 and like Gray Buck having the glide bait, had a trap. One thing I always do is I look for teeth marks.
That trap was hammered.
The glide bait was as well.
Oh, yeah.
There was one guy that said he caught him on a crankbait.
That thing was glistening.
That thing that just came out of the box.
Showroom.
Maybe he just tied a new one on that day. I don't know.
Because that's what I do when I'm crushing them on the same thing.
Yeah. Or maybe he lost it. I don't know. But it was clean.
DT-14?
It was a DT.
Yeah,
it was. brutal reentry there. It was a good event, I think. Thoughts? Any more thoughts on that for you guys?
It was good.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the next few.
Good overall tournament. You know, wasn't anything crazy. Not a whole lot of drama.
No.
Not a whole lot to talk about there.
Nope, not at all. So
Wheeler and Okeechobee, I think, are going to be a little bit more interesting. Like, I feel like we knew exactly how Champlain was going to break down, and that's exactly how it went. But Wheeler and Okeechobee, a couple different things could play.
Yeah, I told Tim this is like survival tournament because if you're just a little bit off,
yeah,
you're dead. You're like, it's going to screw up your whole year. Like, he was upset coming in 42nd. I'm like, dude. You have Wheeler and Okeechobee. The gap difference between guys catching them and not. Everybody knew what to do on Champlain.
Yeah.
100%.
And then you're going to have 60% of the people or less or whatever that are going to know what to do on Wheeler.
Yeah.
And even less on Okeechobee.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to make moves.
Well,
in these next two.
I don't know where exactly it would have put him, but he had 19 and 19. Essentially, right?
21, low 21. Oh, yeah.
He had 21 and then 19, right?
18, 12. He almost had 40 pounds.
So he had almost had 40 pounds. So average 20 pounds a day. If one of those days, like if his average would have gone down to 19, would have been a big gap. Probably, 60th place instead of 42nd? He would have been in
like 55th or something like that.
Yeah, and so that's a huge gap there. Whereas at Wheeler... Mm-hmm. And at Okeechobee, like there's not going to be 20 points or 20 places separated by a pound and a half, two pounds.
I feel like at Wheeler, you have the opportunity to maybe catch 17 pounds one day and catch 26 pounds the next day. Like it's just going to be, it just doesn't happen like that on Champlain.
I was going to say the same thing. There's going to be one day where someone has like 27 pounds and the rest of the field, like second place has like 24 or 23. It's just going to be really weird.
Poche caught 27 last year on Wheeler that time of the year. Now, I don't think that really happens a whole lot, but it did happen at one point.
Who did?
Poche.
Keith Poche?
Yep.
Right on, man.
He led after day two. He had 27 pounds.
I think I remember watching that. I don't know. It's been so long. Anyways, so... You have anything else to add?
I'm good.
Anything else?
I'm good, man.
Cool. I don't have anything. You guys don't have anything. So let's get out of here. We'll see you guys later. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe on everything that we're on. And let us know how you felt about Lake Champlain EQ1 and what you're looking forward to in the next few. See ya.